Our next speaker is Dr. Walter Zhu. Dr. Walter Zhu, as you know, is a former president of this association. At present, he is an affiliated professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also an examiner with the National Board of Public Health Examiners. So he will be speaking to us on an update from the certification examination in public health. Dr. Zhu.
Well, thank you, Carol. And I want to say that it's kind of like mental whiplash to go from Myanmar to this. And I also want to acknowledge that, you know, in some respects, what I have to say pales in comparison to the incredible presentations we just heard. But I think it also speaks to the importance of what public health is. And I see this as being a small but important part of the quality of standards that we're going to start setting in public health. So I am on the I'm the APHA representative to the National Board of Public Health Examiners, which is a new board that's been created in response to much of the growing crisis that's happened in the public health workforce. And Dr. Rosenstock's first talk, where she sort of enumerated the great need for public health workers, not just public health workers, but quality public health workers, was illustrated. Here's a ASTA report, very consistent with the findings from ASPH's report, which shows that we have an older population, many retirements, and there's a great need for training. Now, one of the concerns I have in public health is that many people who enter the field get sort of on-the-job training, but there are no real standards that are out there. And I increasingly believe in our society that if you don't have standards or set standards, then basically you can let anybody can do this position. And there's always the problem that we have sort of low income and as part of the problem that we have in public health itself. So for example, here's a movie that came out a few years ago, Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. And they say here at the very top, they'll give anyone a badge, which is, I think, you know, one of the points here that we really, in the public opinion or public mind, ought to start saying that, you know, public health is not something that just anybody can do. There is actually some training about this. And for those people who aspire to higher things, we actually have, we increasingly think of public health not just so much as a perspective, but maybe even as a profession. We actually have schools and programs of public health that train around important cross-cutting competencies. And so the real question is, do we have standards? I think increasingly the answer is yes. We teach those standards in accredited schools of public health. And who should be setting those standards? And the truth is that we do. If we should be setting, as professionals and educators, we should be setting those standards. So as I first off, I want to acknowledge there are many people who work in public health and do wonderful jobs without an MPH. But for those people who actually have gotten MPHs and gone to public health schools, you know, these five areas are very, very familiar with you: biostatistics, environmental health, epidemiology, health policy and management, and social and behavioral sciences. And they in many ways constitute sort of a generic common experience from everybody who takes or gets an MPH degree. And so after many years of discussion between many partners, including the schools of public health and APHA, I'm getting over a cold, sorry. I wonder if I can place some water, right in my water there. Yeah, thank you. That we've created a voluntary baseline examination for public health. And I want to begin by acknowledging that it's not a substitute for board certification in preventive medicine, as some people have accused us of, nor is it a substitute for a chest exam or a diplomat in the American College of Health Executives or registered sanitarian, et cetera, et cetera. But in some respects, it's sort of this general examination, at least the way I perceive it, that happens after you graduate from a public health program or school. And if you want to specialize maybe in health education or be a diplomat of health executives or be a registered sanitarian, you can take a more specialized examination. And those groups are certainly free to pursue those areas. But in setting this structure, we're starting to create maybe more of a structure of how certification might look or standards might be set within the public health profession. Now, the purpose of the exam itself is to ensure that students and graduates from schools and programs of public health that are accredited by CEEF, by the Council on Education for Public Health, have mastered the knowledge and skills relevant to contemporary public health practice. And the exam itself covers those five discipline areas that I mentioned before: biostatistics, environmental, epi, health policy management, and social and behavioral health. But in addition, and this has been from a recommendation from ASPH, seven cross-cutting areas are part of this, including communications and informatics, diversity and culture, leadership, professionalism, program planning, health, public health biology, and systems thinking. Now, what would an exam question look like that might have reflect that? Because people say, oh, that sounds really hard to, you know, answer questions in those areas. And it's really maybe questions that are around the five basic disciplines, around maybe environmental health, but maybe done reflecting some cultural diversity in the way the question might be worded, or a health policy question that might be reflecting issues around program planning that might reflect issues around health policy and program planning. And so that's how those cross-cutting questions might be captured. Now, the board itself actually has representatives from these major organizations, including APHA, ASTO, NACHO, the Association of Teachers of Preventive Medicine, and the Association of Schools of Public Health. And then there are also 12 at-large members. And in fact, here are names, and you may or may not recognize some of them. And I want to start off by saying that the board itself is an independent organization. Right now, Dr. Mahan, who is a former dean at the University of South Florida, but also a former health officer for the state of Florida, serves as our interim president. Our executive director is Dr. Bernie Goldstein, who was the dean, former dean, at the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health. And helping Dr. Goldstein is our deputy executive director, Molly Eggleston. The exam, the first exam, was actually developed over a two-year period, and it consisted of a variety of exam questions. There's like 200 exam questions that were finally used in the final exam. And people were able to register to the end of April, and the exam was actually administered in August of 2008 for the first time. The scores were actually reported at that time. Now, the next exam is already open for people to register for, and one of my pleas to all of you here is for you who might consider taking the exam to consider doing it soon, because on November 2nd, the early registration ends and actually goes up by $50 after that, and then after that it goes up even more. So, you know, now's a good time to do this, and you can actually register here, right here at APHA at the booth, which I'll talk about at the end. So again, register today. And I want to just show you a little bit of data from the first round. And I should tell you, this data, I only got the demographic data when I prepared this slide, because the scores itself and the pass rate was not actually available at the time, at the deadline in which we had to send these our presentations in. So anyway, the age range, I should, you know, most of them were young people, but it's significant to know that about almost half of the people were over age 35 and older. So not some of you might identify that with that age group and you're, who's in the audience, and you might say, I'll never take this exam. You know, I mean, I'm too old. I haven't taken this exam and graduated in many years. I should point out that 20% of the people who took the exam haven't been in public health school or programs in over 10 years. So you might say to yourself, boy, these people, you know, took the exam. What's going on here? But the point here is that there are many of you in this room, I would suspect, and a larger audience of people who are members of APHA who find themselves longtime graduates from public health programs and might ask yourself, I could never take this exam. I will tell you later on that actually the people who did better on the exam in general were people who were among the older people who took the examination. Maybe to only speak to the fact that it does, the exam will in fact reflect much of the experience of public health, of people who have actually practiced in public health. So the major degree, of course, people had where it was an MPH, but other people who don't have, who went to a school of public health or program of public health that offers these other variety of degrees that are CEF accredited, are also eligible to take the exam. So don't feel like you just have to have an MPH. You can certainly have some of these other degrees and also take the exam. And there are people who had co-degrees in MD-MPH or whatever that were took the exam. Women were more likely to take the exam than men. And about half the exam were done by whites, but the other half done by minorities are those who declined to respond to our question. Interestingly enough, about a quarter of the people who took the exam were not born in the United States, and 12% said that English was not their primary language. You know, people can take this from international settings, and in fact, it turns out that about 3% of the people actually took it in either Canada or in other international sites, and you can actually take the examination in international sites, not necessarily here in America, although the vast majority were done here. And then finally, where people worked when we asked them, we found that most of them had worked either in government, academia, or in the private sector, which is very reflective of what our experience is of graduates of public health programs. And most, you know, again, about a third in local governments, state levels, or at the national level. So here's my personal reflection, because I want you to know that I took the exam. I'm one of those crazy people who took it 20 years after I graduated from public health school. And at the time I wrote this, I didn't know what the results were, but I felt the exam was fair. That was my clear, that it made me, forced me to actually think about epi and biostats again. And it was a good review of public health. And I believe that if I could do it, actually any one of you in this room can do it. And it turns out that I did. I just got the results this weekend and I passed. So I'm certified. So that's how I ended. So anyway, if you want to learn more, you can go to this website, publichealthexam.org. Every school of program has a liaison, and there's a booth here, booth 425, where you can actually sign up for the exam or learn more about it if you're interested. So thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
We have time for one question from Dr. Sue. Could you come to the mic? Whoever put their hand up first.
Whoever gets to the mic first. Hi.
I'm still a student in doing my master's in public health. And I was wondering if this exam would be, gives you certification and recognition. Not only in US, does it give you recognition all over the world where you get like a CPH?
Well, what does recognition mean?
Does it, the value of this exam is recognized all over the world, or is it just in US? Is it just in US recognition or certified public health, CPH?
Well, it is, we say that you can actually add the letter CPH after your name, after your title. And to that extent, you could actually say it's recognized across the world. What recognition means is another whole discussion, because right now the board exam is basically brand new. And so most employers out there are not familiar with this new certification examination. And so whether it actually means you're going to get higher salaries or a promotion, I can't really say. But I do think that in the fight for jobs, where there may be two candidates of equal qualifications, this could be a differentiating aspect. So we'll leave it at that.
My second question is, can people from other countries, like who've done MPH in other countries like Australia, UK, across the world can take this exam? I mean, would that be?
They can only take the only people who actually have graduated from programs or schools that are CEEF accredited, which is generally done only in the United States, and I think now they're starting to do it in Canada and Mexico. CEEF is getting increasing requests from other international settings to do some accreditation, and that's another whole discussion about how those schools get accredited. But unless they're accredited by CEEF, they're not eligible to take the exam. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Sue.